explain all that again. From Zeke to Eleanor. Subject, free me from this bond. It was a dark and stormy night, writes Ezekiel. I danced in my galoshes and hoodie yellow raincoat down Castro Street toward 18th, reveling in the glory that is the rain goddess's own shower of benevolence upon this lone pilgrim. Arwen is back in my life, though he never really left, of course. Our paths started crossing again several weeks ago and with greater and greater frequency, till now it's almost every day. Well, that's a bit of a white lie. Let's say about thrice per awesome week. Flashback 2005. Our friendship shiny new. Like a green bud barely burst from the xylem, I had stepped into the hole-in-the-wall saloon off Folsom Street, sporting a quartz crystal that hung from a resinous cord about my neck. Barely an inch long and a fourth as wide, it sparkled in its natural pentagonal glory, flat on one end, blunted tip the other, with a pleasant ruddy touch to it, like beeswax. From within danced a lavender spirit. I can't remember at this moment, as I type, what meaning this crystal held for me, but I do sense it was quite special. I am not superstitious or caught up into worshipping material items, nor big into jewelry and self-adornment, but how this crystal came to me was nothing less than a small miracle. It probably had to do with my beloved Randolph Lewis Taylor, who I now believe sent Arwen here as my great guardian of life. Yes, I remember now, somewhat. He came to represent the bullet with which Randolph shot himself at the wall, Vietnam Veterans Memorial, D.C., back in 16 January 1985. One day that crystal will be replaced by or transformed into the real bullet, which I first felt as a lump in his back, lodged firmly against and partly into the right shoulder blade, before a surgeon finally removed it some months later. Long, angry scars already cross-hatched his back like the scourge of a whip. I touched them, too. Bone-white, keratinous comet trails of Agent Orange, neatly incised by an unknown soldier's cold scalpel. My fingers shivered as the icy demon traveled up my arm and penetrated to the bone, even unto marrow. A tear trickled down his arched back with the T-shirt scrunched up that I may see such youthful freckles and a promise of liberation writ therein. To be continued. Meanwhile, please read my poem, September's Passage, for a little more on that adventure. Okay, here is that. September's Passage by Ezekiel J. Crawlin. Thinking of you this Labor Day, happy love's Labor Day, browsing in Walgreens aisle of greeting cards, mini Via Dolorosa. In friendship, hang in there. Something about you makes my little heart skip a beat. I like you for what you are. Every day something reminds me of you. If wishing wells work, if crossed fingers count, if there's any magic in the world, a poem for you, my love. Top 10 reasons to smile. When I think about us, I wonder how I got so lucky. And then I remember. Woke up with a wonderful thought today. It's just me sending a little card to give you a little smile, a little lift for my guy. When I'm with you, I do things I really shouldn't do. Chipmunks, cats, turtles, bears, gophers, a moose, broad brown antlers, huge honker, head poked through open window of your home, joyful licks, puppy dogs, flowers, stars, crescent moons, hearts, a snake, crooked stovepipe hat tipped in friendly greeting, red bow tie, pretending, wishing, these cards, even one for God's sake, were sent from Washington, D.C., return address, Randy Taylor. Oh, why drown myself in grief? Why think of you anymore? Randolph Lewis Taylor, writing letters in the donut shop to your adored one, Jose. Dearest little squirrel, I walked in for the first time. Our eyes met, could not pull away. Your feet on the stairs of 689 Castro as I stood at your door, about to knock. Walking in the rain beside you, under your umbrella, I wanted to beg you not to leave, but I said nothing. January 16, 1985. 11 o'clock news. Your face on the screen. Randolph Lewis Taylor, Vietnam veteran, anti-war and gay rights activist, gave speeches with Ron Kovic, author of Born on the 4th of July. fasted 40 days in 84 for representation of Vietnam veterans at the SF Democratic Convention, shot himself early this morning at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. I turned off the TV, wept, thought it was all over, but next day discovered it wasn't. You were still alive. Desperately sought your whereabouts, then wrote to you, letter after letter, day after day, until those incredible love letters before I flew to D.C., your desperate appeal, please help stop the dying, your promise never fulfilled to be as good a friend to you as you have been to me. Your old man's snore, open mouth, as I gazed upon you from the door of your hospital room in D.C., marching out of the canteen in childish arrogance because I scolded you, Walkman headphones over your ears, wearing the Tsing Tsing Ling Ling Panda t-shirt I bought you, your chest puffed with pride, boastful strides through VAMC corridors, new haircut, such lovely waves of silver hair. Shirt pulled up for me to touch the lump, bullet lodged beside your shoulder blade, strong, broad Marine's back, sensuous, smooth, Agent Orange skin cancer operation scars, brave soldier, proud veteran of Armageddon, Top Gun, my hero, my little chipmunk, my beloved comrade in arms. Your moist, cool kiss on my neck, like a playful vampire, beside the statue of St. Francis, I threw my arms around your shoulders, raised myself off the grass. You're so tall, to return the love bite. My lonely visit to the wall, the wailing wall of America, where you shot yourself in the heart, but missed. Vietnam Veterans Memorial, black slabs of polished stone, pressed into the side of a grassy mound, inscribed with the names of the dead, the deluded, homophobic dead, except for the few true believers in brotherly love, who, we may never know. Bronze statue of five soldiers raising the American flag, World War II, behind me and to my left. I shiver while you play bingo back at the hospital. The agony of my departure after 3 weeks, alone on the jet, People's Express, looking down from the sky, the White House, the Obelisk Lincoln Memorial, the Veterans Administration Memorial Center, where you were, knowing that by now you received my parting gift, bouquet of roses delivered to your door, tag attached, Semper Fidelis, Genie, DuPont Circle, Georgetown, Foggy Bottom, the Potomac River, Chesapeake Bay, clouds, sudden burst of tears in my sleeve. Oh, how cruel you were to me, almost every time we were together. Jean, I never asked you to come here. Even after 15-plus years, I cannot believe that I am not your hero, guardian angel, best buddy, confidant, that you turned your love to hate, but I still write to you, compose verses in your honor, thinking of you this Labor Day. Randolph. If wishing wells work, if crossed fingers count, if there's any magic in the world. Fini. And I'm going to play a little music, and then I'm going to read the second part of this. Not the second part of the poem. The poem is over, but another short little bit that he included in his website. A letter to Eleanor, which I'll get to after a bit. I told you earlier, maybe you didn't hear if you're in Ukiah, because you couldn't at that point, but there it is, that I missed anything having to do with Mardi Gras. It was last week, and I was reading about it, and I found something amazing. This is the original Dixieland Jazz Band, the Dixie Jazz Band, playing the Dixie Jazz Band One Step. This is the original recorded jazz song. February 26, 1917. And it sounds like this. KNYOLP Fort Bragg, KMECLP Ukiah. Trombone Shorty. There is a lot of material from Trombone Shorty, and I'm definitely going to be dipping into that next week for next week's show, because that is something special. So KNYOLP Fort Bragg, KMECLP Ukiah, and as promised, the second part of this thing from Zeke, whose name, again, I don't know why it keeps just goes right out of my head. Ezekiel J. Crawlin. I'll just try to make a mnemonic out of that in order to figure out how to not forget that again. So there is that. An email from Ezekiel to Eleanor under the subject, Re-free me from this bond. And then three bang marks at the end of that. Flashback 2005 continued. So I walk into the hole in the wall with a glittery amethyst crystal, which acquisition I cannot recall at this time, but I'm sure I was daydreaming about my Randolph when someone placed a small faux lizard skin textured lily-white rectangular box in my hand. Dancing joyfully upon my throat's chakra, that indentation on one's neck just below the larynx. That would be the object dancing joyfully on my throat's chakra, but somehow in yanking off my winter scarf or jacket, I also jerked the crystal clean off its binding with a sudden zing, and it vanishes to parts unknown, though surely in a radius not exceeding 10 feet, at least that's what my ears tell me, for surely my eyes did not follow, for the saloon is dark, with ink-stained horseflesh-curtained windows and lit only by scattered candlelight and a few dim overhead fixtures. So Barkeep Gary whips out this enormous yard-long metallic dildo from below the cabinet, turns it in my direction, and presses the vibrate button, but wait, it doesn't vibrate, it lights up instead, bathing me like a Hollywood beacon or an officer's headlamp trapping me in Golden Gate Park by the windmills, paying a rakish hobo for a blowjob. Your choice. Like a flashlight, because that's what it really is, I soon realize, as my sun-kissed sidewalk fevered eyes grow accustomed to this Stygian dusk. Bearded Hobbit Gary, Garden Gnome Gary, also works, puts all his concentration into locating this crystal, methodically covering every square inch of the deeply gouged and splintered oak wood floor to a perimeter far exceeding the likely landfall. Alas, he comes up empty, to which I remark, "It's only a crystal, Gary. I'll get over it. But thanks so much for the bother. I don't even know how I got it." By then, Arwen had stepped in to witness Gary's spotlight search and decides to perform his own examination of the scummiest floor this side of Bryant Street. FYI, if you don't already know, Hole in the Wall is themed for Satanists and Hell's Angels of the homosexual variety. It's dark, skanky, and often vulgar, as are most of its regular patrons, who frequently spit on the floor. Kind of a queer version of O. Henry or Steinbeck. Or maybe even Nosferatu, but it is the only gay bar I know of that plays real rock and roll. Not a drop of disco to be found anywhere within its four or five, counting the open-door lavatory with an ice cube-filled trough in which to pee, walls. A dragon formed of colorful lights and copper wire spreads its eclectic wings over the entire saloon in a frozen flight that defies any ceiling. So he lifts the searchlight from Gary's hold and sweeps the floor first around my feet, where they relax upon the bar's footrest, then radiates further out, stopping short of the nearest wall. Still no luck. But I care not about my crystal or any crystal, when such a fine and glorious lad like Arwen is paying me some attention and making all sorts of physical maneuvers that I can admire from many angles, except from below, as he slowly swings the heavy rod across the splintery boards, methodically leaving no square inch unanointed by the light. Coming up empty-handed, just like Gary, he says to me, "Sorry," and hands the flashlight back to the barkeep. But the moment he does, he freezes and says, "Wait, I feel something," indicating his left foot, which heel part he holds frozen an inch above the floor. Arwen then steps back a bit, collapses his gangly 6'7" frame to pick up the object that had pressed against his heel like a stone. It's the crystal. And he hands it to me. "Arr, there she blows." "Wow, thanks, Arwen, I commend," to which he replies, "Do you get it? Do you get the message?" While gazing deep into my eyes, with those smoldering dark orange-red irises I've never seen the like. He is the dragon, and I respond with utter sincerity and infinite joy, "Yes, you are the light." The rest is all implied, no words spoken, but all the same, telepathy declares the remainder, not some stupid candle or electric torch. You are my light that guides me safely home through all peril, to your heart, to your smile, to your most darling affections. My gratitude is eternal. "Good," he says, then turns his glorious copper-haired Hibernian frame around and exits through the horsehide curtains to tend to other pressing events, which I have no doubt have something to do with defending, furthering, assisting, or celebrating the gay spirit, or perhaps just stepped outside for another smoke. End of flashback 2005, to be continued. So...